Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
So, it's great to be with you. You've already seen me. I'm here slightly differently now. I should have done like a quick change. I'm good at that. I was in a conductor's hat last week. This week, I'm in my Christmas jumper. Those of you that know me may know that this week a very important and exciting thing happened in my home. My child turned four. I am now the mother of a four-year-old, and she lets me know. And we happen to have, bad planning on our part, a December baby. And so we've got Abigail's birthday at the beginning of December, and then at the end of December, there's obviously Christmas. And my child just thinks that December is about her, and every time she sees someone, she should be getting a present, because that's what Christmas is all about, right? And so we're trying to help her with this. But I have certainly found over the last few years, especially since becoming a parent, that the social media highlight reel of people's lives has impacted me a little bit. In that you only ever see what people want you to see. So let's just clarify that, okay? What you didn't see from my daughter's pictures from her birthday is that the wig I was wearing to be a mermaid, yes, I wore a big pink wig, was really, really itchy and my head was on fire. What you didn't see was that I was having a meltdown over the cake in the morning. I got a shop-bought cake because life's too short and I'm not a very good baker. But I was having a meltdown over it because it didn't have enough sprinkles and it didn't look magical enough and But you didn't see any of that. And one of the big things that I've sort of struggled with, especially in the lead up to Christmas, is this sort of comparison and sort of going, well, that person, they've done this and they've got this big thing and look at their tree and look at their wreath and isn't that amazing? And we can sometimes get caught in a trap. And this has very little to do with what I'm preaching about. But I felt it was really important to say this. Please don't go into debt at Christmas. I know that you might be going, well, that's not a very exciting topic, Elena. No, I get that. But we look at things like social media and we look at other people, we listen to their Christmas traditions and stories and we go, I feel like I need to keep up with them. And in order to do that, I now have to go into debt or I have to hurt my own bank balance or I get to January and feel the dread of what that month looks like. And if you haven't already, please don't go into debt this Christmas, because it goes against what Christmas is all about. Our Lord and Saviour and celebrating him. And yes, we want the wonderful presents and to enjoy our time and family. And I'm a presents person. And my husband has to rein me in because I'm going, it's all right, we'll just spend all of our savings on our daughter this Christmas because I want her to feel loved. She got three presents for her birthday and she hasn't complained. From us. She got presents from other people. But she got three presents from us. All of them were secondhand. All of them were less than 20 quid each. And she had the best birthday ever. So let me encourage you and de-influence you. Christmas doesn't have to be Instagram worthy. It just has to be what's right for you and your family. So I'm going to move on from that. Thank you. It just struck me this week, if that's something that I find myself struggling with, then maybe, there might be one or two people that go, oh, no, I feel that as well. So it's okay if there's less Christmas presents under the tree this year. Make the memories. I can name one Christmas present I remember my parents getting me over the years, and that was a Wii. They got me, my brother and sister to share together, and that was it. That was the present. A Nintendo Wii. Sorry, not... Yeah, for anyone, sorry, I just assumed. A Nintendo Wii, it was a gaming device for the three of us to share together. And do you know what else I remember from every other Christmas? Is our Christmas Eve traditions, is the amazing food Mum makes, is the wonderful time that we have together. And I that's all that matters. So yes, we have wonderful presents. This is an excuse to take my presents back to the shop. But honestly, think back to how many presents you remember. And now think about what you do remember about Christmas. And let's go from there. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke 1. We've heard this passage already. Fantastic passage. And I'm going to read it to us as well. Luke 1, verse 26 says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Me too, Mary. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, who is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left. So we've heard this story. If you've been in church more than one Christmas, you've heard this story quite a few times. It's quite a pivotal story to our faith as followers of Jesus. And we can sometimes read the story and just kind of go, "Oh yeah, Mary was asked to have a baby, cool, but fine, let's move on." And it just becomes a normal part of our like conversation. It's just a normal part of Christmas. It is the most unnormal story ever. And the fact that the Lord chooses to use Mary is quite significant. You see, one of the amazing things I love about Jesus and in his stories as you go further into the Gospels is that he often uses the marginalized, the meek, the people you don't expect. He uses women quite a lot to show the power of who he is. And that's incredible. And this is what he does with Mary. And with Mary, the Lord, God, he comes to Mary, he sends an angel and he asks her to have a baby. And I would say that that was probably a little bit inconvenient for Mary. It wasn't quite what she probably had in mind at that point. She wasn't yet married. She was engaged, but she wasn't yet married. And because she was a woman living in that time, and because she wasn't married, for her to have a baby without being married would have put her into a little bit of financial trouble. She wouldn't have had the stability. She probably would have been disowned from her family. She probably wouldn't have had the support of anyone else. No one would have blamed Joseph for going, "Absolutely not, off I go. I'm not staying here." She's making stories up. But more than just being a bit inconvenient, it was quite risky and dangerous for Mary to say yes to God, because she was risking her life in order to follow the request of God. She was potentially could have been stoned to death on the spot for having been found out. And the fact that Joseph, I mean, yes, an angel visited Joseph to ask him to recall, but he was going to do this very quietly. He didn't want to get Mary into trouble. It shows Joseph was a good man. But Mary was being asked to do something that wasn't just a little bit inconvenient. It wasn't just a little bit, "Oh, I've now got to change my plans for today." This was world-changing. But Mary had a beautiful response to the angel. "I am the Lord's servant." She asked one question. How can this happen? I mean, I would probably have a few questions. I'd probably be a bit like, "Okay, hold on." You know, going back in time to being 14-year-old Elena, and let's say teenagers just not a thing. I'm now a woman in the eyes of the law. And wait, you're asking me to do what? And yet, I know that had that been my situation, praise the Lord it wasn't, but had that been my situation, I had a loving family that would have still supported, they'd probably been very confused, probably asked a few questions themselves, but they would have supported me and loved me and kept me. I would not have been at risk of death for having a baby at the age of 14. However, Mary was at the risk of death because of the way that she was having this baby, unmarried, unstable, and it was very risky and dangerous. And yet, her response was, I am the Lord's servant. She went straight away to an outward expression of worship instead of an inward expression of self-preservation. And Mary looked at the angel and looked beyond the angel to the Lord. I am the Lord's servant. She did not worry. Well, she may have worried, but she didn't show us worry of, but what about me? She went, whatever you want, I will do. So in Luke 40, chapter 1, 46, this is Mary's response. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our descendants. She focused more on the goodness of God than she focused on herself in that moment. I know that in my own life, the temptation, and Russ has touched on this morning already, the temptation is to focus on me, not you focusing on me, on yourself. The temptation is to focus on, well, how do I feel in this moment? What is it about me? I mean, we're really encouraged to get in touch with our feelings nowadays. That's great. I love it. Except for the fact that sometimes that means I focus more on me and how I feel than focus on the goodness of him. Because actually, if he has asked something of us, he already knows how this is going to play out. He's already in control of it. He's already walked ahead of us. And now he's choosing to walk beside us as we journey this thing together. And he doesn't look at us and think our feelings are inconsequential, but instead he goes, trust me. And so Mary's response, I am the Lord's servant. You are good. I am the Lord's servant. He has looked upon me as a humble servant. You are good. And she looks towards him. She didn't ask for 5 to 10 working days to think about it. She just went, okay, I trust you. Well, I know you're laughing, but how often do we do that? How often do we sort of go, I just need a little while to think about this? You know, I remember telling Dan before we started dating how much I liked him, and he took 6 months to figure it out. No, it's about 3 months. He took 3 months to figure it out, and he needed a bit of time to think about it. And then once he thought about it and made his decision, he's there. He's in. But Mary didn't do that. She didn't go, well, Lord, just let me get married first. I mean, that would have been a completely appropriate response, surely. Surely, if she'd have just said, Lord, if you just let me get married first, and then I'll have this baby, then nobody's going to outcast. I'm never going to be outcast. No one's going to talk about me. The thing is, Mary probably lived with the consequences of this answer for the rest of her life. In that, while she's in the little town of Nazareth, where everybody knows everyone, where's Mary? And Jesus, the Holy One. Jesus, the Son of God, surely not. Oh, Mary says that Joseph isn't his dad. So where are we going with? You can imagine how people may have spoken. You can imagine the gossip from people in her town of like, yeah, Mary says this. Now, we've accepted it and we've moved on because Joseph says it's okay. But Mary had to live with this forever. And one of the things about Mary's story, and I know the story ultimately is all about Jesus, absolutely. But Mary's humility and humbleness towards God is something that strikes me every time I read this story. And the thing is, Mary's situation didn't suddenly just improve. She didn't just suddenly answer the call of God and say, yes, Lord, I will be the mother of your child. And now she's living in a palace. Now she's got everything she needs. Now she's financially secure. No. Mary continued to live out her life the way it had been, except following the call of God. And I think that sometimes we sort of go, well, if the Lord has asked me to do something, then he'll make sure that I am seen, I get my status, people look at me and think, wow, aren't they amazing? You know, maybe I'll get a better house, maybe I'll get a better car, maybe I'll, because the Lord has asked me to do this. And yet we watch the story of Mary and that's just not true. The Lord gives her everything she needs. The Lord protects her and watches over her. However, Mary still lives in poverty. It tells us later on in the Bible when they take Jesus to the temple, they offer two pigeons to be sacrificed. Well, that was the offering of the poorest of the poor. Everyone else would have given much bigger and nicer offerings. Mary and Joseph still lived in poverty. Just because she was following the call of the Lord didn't suddenly mean she got the riches of the world. She was blessed by him, but not in the eyes of the world. She didn't get status or reverence. It's only that we now look back on her story that Mary gets the reverence and the acknowledgement that she deserves. However, her desire to honor and serve God came at significant cost. It wasn't easy. It wasn't straightforward. In fact, it was quite inconvenient. Maybe you're a little bit like me. Maybe you're not. That's okay. But maybe you're a bit like me and you really want to try and avoid discomfort and inconvenience at all costs. Absolutely. A little bit cold, shove the heating on. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Dan's going, whoa, hold on a minute. Let me just check the smart meter. No, no, I don't want to be uncomfortable. Put a blanket on, Elena. I don't want to be inconvenienced. What do you mean the road is closed at the end of our street and I now have to go an extra 1 minute round? What do you mean the corner shop is having its floor leveled and I now can't go and get my chocolate bar? How inconvenient. I don't enjoy discomfort. I don't enjoy being inconvenienced. And actually, when it comes to even the bigger things in life, I like to avoid that as well. I like to be comfortable. I like to have the things that I want. I like to have my creature comforts. As human beings, we are naturally wired for comfort. We are naturally wired for self-preservation. It's very unusual that as human beings, we would do something that would put us out of that. We want to be comfortable. We've got cars so we can drive so we don't have to walk. We've got nice houses with roofs so we don't get rained on. We have things to preserve us as human beings. And yet, sometimes that can go against what God is requiring of us, and it can almost make our ability to follow his call a little bit trickier, a little bit harder, because we sort of go, but Lord, what about all of these other things? You know, if Mary had gone, but God, what about? What about me? What about my safety? What about my family? What about what other people are going to think of me? That's probably one of my biggest driving factors to not doing something. What will they think? But actually, the Lord isn't saying to us, it's going to be easy. And I think that we, I'm not saying New Life, we as the church of Jesus Christ have done a disservice to people in so many areas, and one of them being that when you follow Jesus, life's going to be great. You imagine the tiger, Tony the Tiger, that did the cornflakes advert. It's going to be great. Nope, okay. You come to know Jesus, life's going to be great. It's all going to be sorted. You're going to have no more problems. You're going to be healed of addiction. You're going to have this, that, that. And I've seen people's stories where they've walked into a church, they've been hit by the Holy Spirit, and they've walked away, never drunk, never smoked, never done drugs ever again. They've been healed of their addiction. Wow, hallelujah, amen. Isn't that exciting? Yes, it is. But for most of us, that's not the way it goes. For most of us, we walk into the presence of God, we walk into him, and elements of our lives are changed, and then we have to go on a journey to change, to keep going. And we have taught people, from kids' church, even from Sunday school, back when it was called Sunday school, we've taught kids, when you follow Jesus, it's going to be great, it's going to be easy, it's going to be fabulous, you're going to be happy all the time. Following Jesus is joy in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. It's one of the old kids' church songs, don't worry about it if you've never heard it. Looking at me thinking, whoa, is she okay? Yes, I'm fine. I've got the joy of the Lord in my heart. But we've taught our kids and others that following Jesus is this like magic switch. Boom, everything's great. Everything's fine. You don't need to worry again. And then suddenly people hit hardship and it's not as comfortable or convenient as they thought it was going to be. And people then blame God instead of blaming our expectations of what that looks like. God never said it would be easy. In fact, he says, take up your cross and follow me. A cross is not something that's easy to hold. It's not something that's easy to carry. But what Jesus does promise is that he will be alongside us every step of the way. That we live in hope. We don't always live in comfort. We don't always live in convenience. We don't always live in incredible wonder and amazement. Sometimes you might be sad. Sometimes you might even be depressed. But the Lord promises he will walk with us on the journey, and we get to live in hope that we are not alone. And our ultimate hope is that we have eternal life with him, whether it all goes cushy down here on earth or not. One day it will all be good, it will all be made whole and perfect again with him. So what happens to you when the Lord rocks the boat? What happens when the Lord comes and asks something of you that is inconvenient, that comes along and changes what could potentially be your next 5-year plan? The Lord walks in and goes, this is what I'm asking of you. You have a choice to say, absolutely not. That's okay. Mary could have said no. But when you follow Jesus and you want to live your life for our Lord and Savior, can you say no? Would you want to say no? So what happens when the Lord asks something that rocks the convenient, comfortable life that we've built for ourselves? When he walks in and goes, look, I know you've only got 2 years left on your mortgage, but I'd like you to remortgage your house and pay off somebody else's mortgage. What happens when the Lord comes to you and goes, look, I know that you are financially stable right now and living a financially comfortable life, but I would like you to take a pay cut, take an hours cut so that you can serve the church or serve me in some other way. What happens when the Lord comes to you and says, and this is something that, it would hit me right in the gut. I know that you're happy where you are. I know that you love the fact that your family are 20 minutes down the road. I want you to get up and move. Could I? Would I? Isn't it uncomfortable to suddenly think that the Lord might come in and ask something of us because he's not looking at what your plan is. He's looking at the plan. The plan. And you might be an essential part to that plan somewhere else. You might be an essential part to somebody else's plan. You might be a part of somebody else's story of finding and following him. And in order to do that, we have to get uncomfortable. And we don't like being uncomfortable. It doesn't feel fair. It's not something that we want to do. But Lord, I have followed you. I obey you. I do what you ask me to do. I've been a follower of Jesus since I was 4 years old. Why are you asking this of me? Because you said that I give my life. And so often we sort of read a story like Mary's and go, oh yeah, good on Mary. Isn't that good of her? But what happens when God asks you? He asks you to follow his call and it's uncomfortable. And I know that there are people in this room that have literally done that time and time again. You could probably recount stories of times when God has walked into your life and gone, want you to change, want you to move, want you to give, want you to sacrifice. And you could tell, I'd love to hear those stories. Like, honestly, not in a weird way, but in a, come and encourage us. Remind people, tell those stories in your small group. The Lord asked, and I know it's uncomfortable because you're like, I feel like I'm talking about myself. I feel like I'm bigging myself up. No. Your story of inconvenience may just very well help somebody else who's stepping into their story of inconvenience. And is it inconvenience or is it opportunity? Is it inconvenience? Is it something that God is asking you to do and you're going, oh, this wipes out everything? Or is it an opportunity to show the Lord, number one, you love him, and number two, to be able to go, I am the Lord's servant? Because if we looked at it as an opportunity, even with the potential pain, it was painful for Mary. As someone that gave birth to a £9.5 baby, it was painful for Mary. But in more ways than that, it may come with pain, it may come with difficulty, but is it an inconvenience or is it an opportunity to serve the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who literally gave his life for you? Is it an opportunity to give back? And he doesn't love us any less. He doesn't love us any more. He's not going, well, you have to do this or you're not getting into heaven or whatever your theology looks like. He's saying, will you serve me? Will you give back to me? Will you honor me with your life? Could you lay down your own plans, your own comfort, your own safety to answer the Lord's call? And could you do it without any guarantee of a reward this side of heaven? Because so often we have this sort of rhetoric of, well, if I give to the Lord or do what the Lord's asking me, he will give back to me now. No. We have been promised that the Lord will reward us for our giving to him. He doesn't say now. Our reward may just be, I say just, in eternal life with him. What a reward. You know, if we could change our mindsets a bit, and instead of going, well, I'll only do it if God does X, Y, and Z for me, if we change our mindsets and go, the Lord has done this, so I'm going to do this, and one day we get that. The Lord has given his life, his son. He died on a cross, and he rose again, so I'm going to give my life here today, so one day I have eternal life with him. That should be enough. And we live in a world where it's not enough. You need to get instant gratification. You need straight away to have the Lord. I've just given someone all of my savings. The Lord will give it back to me double. Maybe he will in eternity, where money doesn't matter anymore. There's no guarantee for reward this side of heaven, this side of eternity. And yet, Mary still said, I am the Lord's servant. She had no guarantee what it would look like. That beautiful woman gave everything and watched her son die on a cross. And she still gave everything. She still said, I am the Lord's servant. She had no idea what her yes would mean going forward. You have no idea what your yes might mean. Mary's yes meant that the Lord and Savior of the world was born into poverty, was born into a stable when God could have chosen queens. He could have chosen royalty. He said he chose humble servant girl, Mary, who had a baby. She said yes to him. And by her saying yes, the course of the world was changed. a poor servant girl, had no status. Had she not had Jesus, would have never known a name. Lived in the back end of nowhere. Her yes changed the course of the world. What will your yes do? What will your yes to the Lord do? Your yes may see your neighbours get saved. Your yes may see your children come back to know the Lord. Your yes may see people finding and following Jesus in a world that tells them they don't need anything but themselves. Say yes to the opportunity to be the Lord's servant rather than the inconvenience of changing your own plan. So as I draw to an end, the band are going to come and join. But I want to encourage you and myself. I was literally praying this morning as I was getting ready. Lord, let me declare this as well. Let this be my declaration. Let me be somebody who follows you no matter the cost. That would be prepared to say, yes, I am the Lord's servant. And turn your inconvenience of God changing your plan into a declaration of worship to him. I am the Lord's servant. Those five words, one of the greatest acts of worship in history. And we have the opportunity to repeat that over and over again. I am the Lord's servant. What a privilege. Scary, wonderful, amazing opportunity. It might not be easy. It might involve sacrifice. I don't know many followers of Jesus who haven't had to sacrifice in order to follow Jesus. And yet we do see his blessing. We do see his goodness in our lives. We do see the wonder of his hand at work in our world. And our response just has to be, I am the Lord's servant. Do it scared. Do it without knowing all of the outcomes, all the options. Just do it. I am the Lord's servant. And so we're going to come into a time of worship. And as I was preparing this, I knew there would be people here that would need to say it. They'd need to say, I am the Lord's servant. He's asking something of you. And it's scary. And you go in, I've tried to put it off. Don't really want to do it. But here's our chance to have an outward declaration of worship instead of an inward self-preservation. I am the Lord's servant. And this morning, there may come a significant change for you as you step into the calling that God has for you. And those of us that maybe we don't feel like we've got a big change coming, I still want to be someone that says, I am your servant, Lord. Whatever comes, I will follow you. Whatever you ask of me, I will follow you, Lord God. What is it that you are wanting of me as your servant? Help me be brave. Help me have courage. Help me be like Mary, a young woman who gave her life in service of the Lord. Let us stand together. I'm just going to pray and then we will have a time of worship. One thing I can promise is that in your declaration of worship to him, he'll always be faithful. You'll never be alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you. when the world turns its back, the Lord says, I am here. And so, in the midst of the worry, in the midst of the but what ifs, rest in the knowledge that just as the Lord walked with Mary on her journey, he continues to walk with us. And we need to fear nothing when we say, I am the Lord's servant. Lord Jesus, thank you for the stories that we look back on in the Bible, stories that seem inconvenient, stories that just seem wild. Why would you choose a servant girl? And yet, Lord, we see your handprint all over it. We see your goodness in all of it. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that we would learn something from the story of Mary. And we would be people of God who would stand with an outward, open expression of worship to you. I am the Lord's servant. Lord, would we know your faithfulness and your goodness all the days of our lives? And would we continue to step forward into what you have called us to? And Lord Jesus, for those people in here this morning who are on a fork in the road of saying yes to you and something that's uncomfortable and inconvenient and scary, or following their own plan, Lord Jesus, would they have the courage to follow you, knowing that our reward, our eternal safety is in you. And that, Lord Jesus, when you ask, we would go. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.